time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Add that to the letter. The dignity.
With SI's Pat Forty.
This is where, again, we get into the stuff that other podcasts don't dare to tread. Like, you know, can you defeat a orangutan with a sword?
Here's Pat and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, Sean Sullivan. We're starting with you. Notre Dame upsets number one seed Tennessee Vols in baseball. You're the biggest Tennessee baseball fan perhaps there is, or at least in the running.
Certainly the biggest in within this sphere of the podcast.
How are we?
First off, thanks for everybody hit me up on Twitter, just worried about me yesterday.
Thoughts and prayers.
I went to the beach. I ate 15 pounds of Korean barbecue after that with my girlfriend. And then we went to see Top Gun 2. So that was a good trio to battle the my wounds. So
that's the beach, a lot of meat, and Top Gun 2.
Yeah, that's a solid coping mechanisms. No doubt about it.
Excellent work. I mean, that's a good day, even if your favorite baseball team loses.
Right.
I suppose you would trade all three of those for a victory. But, yeah, that's good. That's good. All right, well, what happened, Sully? What happened?
Man, we talked about this going into the series. Notre Dame's just 8 out of the 9 guys were seniors. Senior-laden team, you see this a lot around baseball where there's guys that have been playing, got a lot of reps, and aren't scared to go into a hornet's nest that is Lindsey Nelson Stadium. And they started out four first innings on Friday with 4 home runs, and you're like, oh boy, this is about to be a dogfight, and it sure was. And yeah, I mean, it when you're the brash provocateur of college baseball, you're going to have to take some shots, and they certainly did across the SEC, from Arkansas fans to Vanderbilt fans to Ole Miss fans to everybody in between, that taking shots at Tennessee. And that's kind of the nature of the beast when you win a lot and you do it in a very high entertaining fashion.
This is way too emotionless.
yeah. Now Sully, come on now. Let's dig in a little
bit.
Where's
the anger? It's okay. It's okay not to be okay, Sully.
It's there. It's there. I did a really good job yesterday of coping, I'm telling you. But
let it out.
Let it out.
Safe space.
No,
this is a safe space.
The quickest way to fire me up, though, is, you know, I was scrolling a lot on Twitter yesterday trying to.
That helps.
That really helps, right? And just every other tweet's a pot shot at Tennessee. But the quickest way to fire me up is the other managers that aren't even involved in this regional taking a little shots at Tennessee, like North Carolina's manager. He's kind of taken the side of Dave Van Horn, DVH, who's has a nice rivalry with Tony Vitello, one of his old coaches, and says, you know, I really respect those Arkansas guys. They're doing it the right way. And, you know, they swing that stick in their hand and they walk right to the dugout. Yada, yada, yada. You know, all these unwritten rules of baseball. Baseball is a dying sport. Teams like Tennessee, they're the only reason why we're talking about college baseball right now, you know? And there's the only reason why people have had eyeballs on college baseball long before we even hit tournament time. You could take your unwritten rules and shove them where the sun don't shine, in my opinion.
There we go. Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Here on the therapist couch, we are digging in.
We're digging in. And so these are a bunch of 18-year-old kids that are having a blast. And if you don't think bat slams and flicking off the right field are just fun, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, situation or the deal with this Tennessee team is, I mean, they were extremely good and they were really cocky and arrogant and showy and sometimes confrontational. You get star players getting ejected. You get managers bumping people getting ejected. So you set yourself up. You better win then, all right? Because you become a target. And people like to see the cocky team and the arrogant team go down, and they did. But to your point, I agree that, you know, baseball is just so constipated by its, you know, it's how you play the game, unwritten rules that have been around since 1800, since the game has. And that shouldn't be what college baseball is. It's not what Tennessee was. And I think you got to let young people be pretty demonstrative in sports these days. That's what they want to do. And, you know, why shouldn't they?
Sully, it's enough. Tennessee's got no class.
Yeah.
classless Vols. That's what I'm talking about. I don't even believe that, but I got to rile you up.
Yeah, no, but classless versus Catholics was the shirt of the weekend, and I definitely,
oh, really?
Yeah, I definitely didn't want to buy one in the Catholics versus Convicts script of the yeah, right. of the Miami yeah, yeah. game. So Tennessee fans made those, and we fully know where our bread is buttered, and it's
well. Yeah, and as you have noted in the past, I mean, the fight song is about moonshiners, yeah, right?
Exactly, so. And killing revenue agents. So,
yeah, they do murder a federal agent in there, right? Mm-hmm. Don't yeah. they? Right, he doesn't come back.
They don't come back from the mountain.
Yeah, you know? No. Look, your point is well taken. It's also like, how seriously do we want to take college baseball?
Yeah,
there's not a right way to play. Other than like if you were, you know, trying to spike guys into second base or throwing purposely at them, which is actually like an unwritten rule that's allowed.
Yeah, right.
That's yes, you're okay. allowed to go that's ahead. That's old school baseball. Throw it at a guy's head. As long as you're not doing that in sports, the goal is to win. It's like in everything else. The goal is to win. You want to buy a house. You don't sit there and say, hey, this is the list price. I'll only bid that and hope they accept my bid. If you really want it, you bid higher. Is that fair or whatever? No, I don't. Yeah, it's fair.
The conglomerate can come in and double the asking price and buy it from you. And that's, sorry, then that's not an unwritten rule.
Yeah, right. What is it about, like, you know, this is the way we got to play. Tennessee had the fur coat. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's funny. It's something. Kids, I mean, who cares? It's what they want to do. That's what they want. If you want your program to be something else, then have it be that. But they could just as easily be like, your program is boring. We got into the bit this weekend, too, at Virginia Tech. They called it their home. What is it? The Hokie sledgehammer was the NCAA banned it from existence. They could not use the sledgehammer.
Fun police.
The fun police. Home run hammer. They would celebrate in front of their dugout. The NCAA said during last week's NCAA regional baseball games and other potential volatile situations were observed at various sites. Any orchestrated activities by dugout personnel designed to distract, intimidate, or disconcert the opposing team or reflect poor sportsmanship now shall not be allowed.
Yeah.
And then Carson DeMartini said, that's total crap from the NCAA. You see Tennessee hit their home run and they put their fur coat on. You see Texas hit their home run and they put their helmet on. But what's the NCAA got to do to come over here and tell us we can't slam our own hammer in our own park? There's some guys on the team, this is a great one, that kind of talk like it's almost being in a prison in your own ballpark.
Oh, all dear. Right, that's a bit dramatic.
It's clearly never been to prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding.
The fans come out for the hammer. They want to see us slam the hammer. I think it's total crap. We can't slam the hammer.
Well,
we're not going to let it affect us. We're going to slam an air hammer. Yeah, they did a fake hammer.
They did.
They lost.
Yes. They seem to have some fun with the air hammer because, like, here's the deal. A little history lesson on sledgehammers in college sports.
Oh,
you know, somebody mentioned the fun police. Sometimes you may end up with the real police involved if you got a sledgehammer handy. 2002 1AA football playoffs, Western Kentucky versus Western Illinois, coached by Jack Harbaugh, as a matter of fact, the Hilltoppers.
I love it.
They had a sledgehammer that they brought to the games. It was, you know, hard-working, blue-collar, tough, blah, 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 blah. Well, they got in a brawl with Western Illinois, and one of the players, strong safety Chris Riviere, picked up the sledgehammer and used it in the brawl. Got dismissed from the team, and there were other penalties involved. Prison.
Yeah,
yeah, that, exactly. Yeah,
don't do that. That's an actual assault with a deadly weapon.
Yeah, don't do that.
There is precedent for having some concern for sledgehammers.
What about Paul Bunyan's axe at the Minnesota-Wisconsin game?
You know, that thing's like 10 feet long, though, right? That thing, that would be really hard to wield in sort of like a lethal manner, wouldn't it?
Got to have some really long arms.
Get a couple guys, maybe. I don't know. It's still.
Here, this is where, again, we get into the stuff that other podcasts don't dare to tread. Like, you know, can you defeat a orangutan with a sword?
Speaking of swords, I can't remember what Twitter page tweeted this out, but it was a video from like the 1993 A&M SMU game where one of the fake army guys was trying to take out like an SMU cheerleader with his saber. And now they now the NCAA doesn't allow them to have sabers unless it's like basically like glued into the sheath.
See, college sports, they have all these dumb rules for a reason, because people have done things like use a sledgehammer in a brawl or try to go after somebody with a sword.
That's true. Over the 100 plus years of collegiate athletics, there's been some idiots out there that have used the weapons.
So maybe I'm going to give the NCAA a pass on the hammer.
Yeah,
they probably are right. Mm-hmm. Like, because if there was a hammer, if the brawl broke out and someone got hammered by the hokey hammer,
that'd be pretty bad.
I would probably be like, why are we allowing hammers and weapons on the sideline?
Howard High School, Reggie White's alma mater, we used to play them in high school, and they would bring a sledgehammer and slap it down on your 50-yard line during warmups, and that was always pretty intimidating, I would say. Yeah. So
there's hammers at girls' high school soccer. I mean, like, I've seen the sledgehammer's a thing. Yeah, the blue collar. I don't know. Well, the Hokies got to come up with something else, or I don't know what, but they didn't make it.
No. They got air hammer. I think they hit with air bats for part of that.
Air bats. They didn't win a lot of hammer. What was East Carolina, Sully? They have like pirate?
Yeah. So they're obviously the Pirates, and they had the Jack Sparrow hat with the dreads coming out the back, and they would slap that on your head after you hit a homer. And
sort of Johnny Depp trial, so he's okay now.
He's okay, so you could use it.
He's back. Uncanceled.
Yeah.
Yeah. He successfully sued for more money than Amber Heard did, so.
Yeah. So he gets to... Yeah.
Man, I feel bad for those Pirates, though. The most super regional appearances without a College World Series appearance. Man, they're going to make it one of these days, but woo.
Tough. I was disappointed, too. I said I was rooting for them. I also, not that there aren't upsets in this, because there's a lot of, like, unseeded teams. Oklahoma, I think, was unseeded, right?
Right.
Auburn is still alive. At the time we're doing this, will probably be done. UConn could still make it. But just as a college sports fan, I like seeing East Carolina beat Texas.
Hell yeah.
Nothing against Texas. It's just I want to see those types of schools make it.
Yes.
It's their sport.
East Carolina,
right?
And Southern Miss lose. Yeah, it's their sport. It's whatever it is. It's, like I said, I always root for, like, I love the Minnesota Duluth hockey program. They got a great program. And it's like, this is it. This is their thing.
Yeah. I mean, like, East Carolina has been clinging by its fingernails to membership in the AAC. You know, just to get in was like a triumph for them, to get above that Conference USA level. And, you know, the way things have been changing, I'm sure there are people within that league that would have loved to see East Carolina get kicked out. But no, they hang in there, and to have success in a, you know, fairly high-level sport like baseball is, it's beautiful. It's great. I mean, Greenville, North Carolina, nice little college town. Everybody's behind the Pirates there. So let them have their moment in the sun. Texas wins everything. Texas will probably win the NACTA All-Sports Cup for the second year in a row. It's either going to be them or Stanford. So, you know, it's tough for the Pirates not to get there, but that's the way it goes.
Plus, Old Miss beating Southern Miss in Hattiesburg.
Right, right. Yeah. Romance is dead.
Romance is dead. I mean, all due respect. Good job. But yeah, it's just I'm someone looking for narratives.
But hey, you got a narrative in Tim Elko there. The going on one knee last year and still playing and hitting absolute monster shots to lead Ole Miss damn near to Omaha, and then they get it back this year. That's a pretty cool story for Tim Elko. So they got some narratives down there in Oxford.
All right. Well, Sully, we'll rely on you for all narratives going forward. Baseball narratives.
One Ole Miss fan who had a good time was Lane Kiffin, of course.
Oh, I saw Lane mix it up with the Vols a little, didn't he?
Vol fans are mad at Lane, of course. Little Lane, still wishing he was a Vol. Speaking on how is your son Knox? You know, he didn't name the thing, all that. Lane said, awesome. Thanks for asking. We are watching Ole Miss baseball advance to the College World Series. What are you guys today in Knoxville?
Yeah, that wasn't the best grammar, but
yeah, he left out a word. He was too busy firing back.
Good shot.
I don't think Lane's. We never thought Lane was much particularly literate. It wasn't really his thing. It's fine.
And then, evidently, according to Twitter, there's a video circling of the Notre Dame team singing "Rocky Top" at a Knoxville establishment too. So there were shots taken towards Knoxville on Twitter.
I mean, you got to do it, though.
You do.
I mean, You got to do it. Like I said, if you're wearing the home run fur, you got to take your shot. And that's mm-hmm. good. I mean, they did throw golf balls and mustard things at Lane. So he's
And they also chunked a bunch of beer on and mustard first baseline after a call didn't go their way on Friday night. So
there we go. More mustard. We're going to have to investigate, do an in-pod investigation of the mustard fetish in Knoxville.
I agree. I don't know what's going on. Mustard
flavored bourbon or something. Yeah, I don't know. That's our baseball. We'll do a little everyone wants some movie review, Sully and I, later. Pat did not do his homework and watch the movie.
Sorry, I'm in California, man.
I think it's a little racy for you, Pat.
Yeah, sure.
They show a butt crack at one point, so I don't
know. Oh, no.
Well, it's certainly an R-rated movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Mature audiences, so Sully and I loved it.
Yeah.
we will get mature audiences.
Yeah, define
no
mature
here. Person would enjoy this movie.
Absolutely not.
But a little football, Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher and their exciting fight kind of tried to dial it down. But Freedom of Information Acts has thrown a little salt on this.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Yeah, On Three has this. The morning after Alabama football coach Nick Saban alleged Texas A&M bought every player on their team, A&M President M. Catherine Banks and Director of Athletics Ross Bjork told SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey the conference should consider suspending and fining Saban for his comments. This is an email signed by the aforementioned. We write to express Texas A&M's disappointment and outrage at the recent statements by Alabama University. Alabama University head coach Nick Saban that A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. Bjork and Banks email to Greg Sankey stated, Coach Saban's statement was a blatant violation of SEC bylaws regarding sportsmanship. Also, not knowing that it's called the University of Alabama would be considered, right? I don't know, but anyway. Back to the email. It's like they make sure to call him Coach Saban to give him some respect. Yeah, can't get the school
can't
right.
Get the school. You know, they've only been in the league for 9 years now. They haven't been able to figure out exactly what the name of all the schools are yet.
More significantly, without citing any facts to support his statement, Coach Saban is accusing every single player in A&M's recruiting class and current football team of violating NIL guidelines and Texas state laws. Coach Saban's statement is false beneath the dignity of the SEC.
Dignity.
that's rich.
Oh, and Caruso. I don't know what dignity is. I think that was an old wooden ship. The dignity.
Corrosive. I love
corrosive it. To the fabric of sportsmanship in college football as a whole, and especially within the SEC. We expect the league to take a strong public action against Coach Saban and the University of Alabama. Oh, they get it right this time. To demonstrate that.
That almost makes it better.
It really does. It's like, did you do it on purpose, the first one, or you guys just not proofread?
If you do it both ways, then you're going to get it right at least once. So.
Well, that's good.
That's right.
Yeah. Public apology is a good starting point. The league should also consider monetary and participation penalties against Coach Saban. Thank you for your concern and prompt attention to this matter. I'm sure they wanted him suspended for the first game 8th. Of October. Yeah, or whatever. let's see what else we also got. Sankey told Bjork he had cautioned that the press conference should not violate the same sportsmanship policies below. This was against Fisher, and anyway, they ended up, you know, the public reprimand. So, Pat, should A&M were they right? Do they have a point? And Saban should be suspended and monetarily fined.
Well, I mean, certainly yes, because you have to keep in mind the dignity of a conference in which Phil Fulmer once skipped SEC Media Days to avoid getting subpoenaed by a booster from Alabama as the two were fighting over who was going to pay Memphis prospects the most. The Steve Spurrier, you know, decade of jabbing at everyone around him. The times when like half the league has been or more has been under investigation at the same time. So, yeah, there's a lot of dignity to protect here for sure. I just love it. This is beautiful. The great thing about this, I mean, and this story will not go away, as we have seen this, but when you put it in writing, that's when it gets good. and for the school to ask for Greg Sankey to lay down sanctions. And Sankey's response, I could just see Sankey after like rolling his eyes and calling three assistant commissioners saying, can you believe this? And then just sending a terse one sentence response. I do not view suspension or financial penalty as appropriate at this time. That's a Greg Sankey response. But sorry, A&M, that, you know, Alabama University is not going to be sanctioned and Nick Saban's not going to be sanctioned in this. But I do love the administrative umbrage from A&M does not stop from Jimbo. It trickled up from Jimbo to Bjork to the president. Beautiful. Bring it on.
You got to fired up. Angry, sternly worded letter. Anyway, good times. A&M is entertaining. One of their best moves was bringing A&M into that league. They added some sight. They haven't won a lot of games.
No, but
they've won a few. I mean, pound for pound, though, considering it. They absolutely are way more exciting than like Missouri. Missouri's like boring.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, you know, Missouri did have a good
divisions, but you know, who cares? No one remembers. A&M haven't done anything like that.
They did have a good halftime brawl with.
They had a good brawl with Florida, I guess.
But they didn't have a pacemaker brawl like A&M did with LSU. I mean, A&M, there's no doubt they are far ahead of Missouri in the entertaining
the pacemaker brawl. We had just Johnny Manziel himself.
Yeah.
We got Jimbo and Saban. We got Jimbo and the Christmas tree. We got Jimbo and this class that nobody got paid. No one's making any money. That's of course right. not. And they upset. I don't know. Good times.
Yeah. No, this is fantastic.
All right. Well, add that to the letter. The dignity. It's official. We had discussed this earlier in past editions. Houston, Cincinnati, and Central Florida will join Big 12. They will leave the AAC July 1st, 2023, so about 1 year. So this is going to be the last season of the Big 12 as it is currently constructed and the last season of the AAC as it is constructed. BYU was already going to join on that date, so we will have this crowded bus station until Texas and Oklahoma leave, if they are actually there in 2023, and my guess is they might be. Certainly looks like it. But Pat, what have you heard on this, and what do you take out of it?
Yeah, $18 million exit fee for those schools getting out of the AAC, but pretty sweetheart payments on that. It's like they got to pay $10 million of it fairly quickly, and then like the other $8 million can be spread out over 14 years. So, you know, they got time to...
Dollar a week for, for getting a new mattress, right? Yes.
Like putting money into the NCAA slippery noodle fund. Just a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. But just, I think, really interesting to me, Dan, that you're going to have, basically, it's like you've got duplex or something where people are moving in before the other people move out. And now you got a crowd and it's going to be a little awkward. And how are you going to share the bathrooms and the kitchen? You got Texas and Oklahoma still hanging around and you've got everybody else coming in. And I totally get why the Big 12 is like, oh, no, we're not letting you out early. We're going to get all the revenue from you. And if you try to leave, we're going to maximize our penalty payments against you, because that's what I think you should do if somebody's going to break their contract and abandon your conference and leave it jeopardized. You also keep yourself from moving on with what your new iteration is going to be. So you still got those guys hanging around. They don't want to be there. Now you've got Cincinnati and UCF and BYU and Houston scheduling those teams. Guaranteed Texas doesn't want to play Houston, but they're going to. And so it's just going to be very awkward. But college sports does this to itself. And this is what happens with realignment. You break some eggs to make some omelets, and you get some really strange situations. Like, I am sure Texas and Oklahoma want to get out. And I wonder if the new SEC media rights are lucrative enough, even though I'm sure they wouldn't get bought in fully right away. But if there's just enough money there that they bite the bullet and make the huge payment to get out, the big exit fee, as opposed to trying to wait this thing out and knock the money down, because it's just the sooner everybody moved on theoretically would be better. But I, again, don't blame the Big 12 for absolutely wrenching every last penny you could get out of the Sooners and the Longhorns.
So I think it was Dennis Dodd, CBS, reported that So the deal right now for the SEC and Oklahoma and Texas is 2025. So we'd have two more or three more seasons.
Well, you'd have 23, 24, and 24, 25. You'd have
22, 23.
Well, 22, 23.
Let's just talk football. Right. 22, 23, and 24, right?
Okay, right. Yeah, I was thinking when you'd have 14 people and be overbooked, it would be.
Yeah, then there'll be 14 for two seasons. But Texas and Oklahoma have three more in the Big 12.
Yes.
They're considering trying to shave a year off of that.
Right.
But yeah, you'll have 2 years and, you know. But that's a big deal, even in not just the money, but like if Houston gets a home game with Texas or Oklahoma, like those are big things.
Absolutely.
You think big moments.
UCF would be fired up to have Oklahoma come to town.
Right.
BYU. Come on.
Getting one crack at it. So along those lines, Cincinnati is having an excellent recruiting class. UCF, all of them are doing a little bit better than they normally do. Cincinnati's up to number three. Now they got a lot of commits and they're not going to last at number three, but their average star ranking and all that kind of projects out to be sort of borderline top 25, which is a significant get for a non-power five school. They just don't get that high.
No.
Over, and they have had this big run, including I think it was Saturday or Sunday over the weekend. Amari Snowden, a cornerback from Michigan, big, tall, lanky athlete, 4-star, top 15. He's ranked 215th by rivals. Like, this is a legit player. He commits to Cincinnati. They've got 3 4-stars. Luke Fickell's doing really well in recruiting, and they got commitments from 11 kids since June 4th. They're just loading up with a whole bunch of recruits, and they're from all over. Florida, Jersey, Tennessee, Ohio, obviously, Michigan, Missouri, Indiana, right? I mean, so they are rolling, and obviously they're selling, along with UCF and Houston, this concept of you're playing in the Big 12. And then I think Cincinnati's also saying, hey, we just had 9 guys drafted. So
yeah, I guarantee that's resonating. And as you mentioned, out of the 4 stars they've got, 2 of them are DBs, and
yeah,
you just had Sauce Gardner and Kobe Bryant get picked, and you know, I mean, those are high level NFL prospects, and so that's great to be able to sell right now, and they're making hay on it. I mean,
when you go into into Metro Detroit and say, look, Sauce Gardner was not a big prospect. 4 years ago, we got him, and he turned out to be, what did he go? Third? What did he go in the draft? Top 5?
I think he was third, but let me see.
Third? I don't know. He's third in the draft. That's gonna spin some heads, not just in Detroit, anywhere. But I don't know. Which one of these programs you think can hit fastest in this jump? Because generally, jumping leagues does not. It's a lot harder than it looks.
Yeah, it is. Sauce was the 4th pick, by the way.
4th pick, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so no, that's all right. It's tough. I mean, it is harder than perhaps most people think it will be to transition leagues. That's been proven. But I love Cincinnati's chances because the best thing they've done is maintain coaching continuity. You know, there's Luke Fickell, to the shock of many, including me, is still there. Is still coaching the Bearcats after this just fantastic run that he's had. I mean, it wasn't a 1-year blip where they had one great season. He's stacked up 3-4 good seasons in a row now. And so you've got that. You've got a commitment to build a new facility, which they have said they need, and they found a place for it, which is hard to do in downtown Cincinnati. And then you've got conference affiliation and you've got players in the area. You know, you can recruit the Midwest and get some darn good players. You can go into Michigan. You can get people in Ohio. You can go to Pennsylvania and so forth. So I just think Cincinnati is set up for the long haul to be very, very competitive. As long as I can keep Luke Fickell, and they probably won't keep him forever. He may have something pop up this year that he goes. But to have kept him this long is an incredible triumph for them. And we're seeing in the recruiting what the benefits are of having a big NFL class coming off of a breakthrough, you know, pioneering historic playoff appearance. So it's all momentum at Cincinnati right now.
It's pretty impressive. It will be a challenge that week in, week out deal. Same in basketball. I think I saw Kelvin Sampson. Obviously, Houston's a great program he's got in basketball. And he said, well, this is great. But when you play in the Big 12, every single team in the Big 12 can make the Sweet 16.
Right.
And, you know, like, this isn't that much fun for me. He kind of enjoyed some of those easier games and some off nights. But, you know, so there is that challenge. That's why they tend to struggle with it. But Cincinnati's hot right now. You gotta give them that. Fickle's doing a heck of a job. I mean, as long as he's going to stay, I think they'll be great. And I don't know. I don't know that he's really looking to go.
No, I mean, yeah, we'll find out.
He could have had Notre Dame. If he wanted to be like immediately had his agent call and been like, we'll take Notre Dame, he probably could have had it over Freeman.
Well, that would have been an interesting one to see how that would have played out, because I'm sure Fickell was on their radar, but I think everything moves so quickly in favor of Marcus Freeman that I'm not sure they even went down the road with Fickell. But Fickell also,
he could have started the road.
Right. Yes.
Same with Michigan, like 2 years ago. Like, I don't know. Like, there's just stuff you could do. Be like, hey, if Michigan opens, I'm coming to Michigan. Like, I know he'll probably go to Ohio State.
Yes.
But, you know, if he wants one of these really, really good jobs in the Midwest, he could let it be out there that I might be available. Whether they would hire him or not, he is, as far as anyone says, has not let anyone have that opinion of him.
Yeah, so, I don't think he has gone down the road at all. I think that the fact that they were in position to make the playoff, unlike Brian Kelly, was a deal breaker for Fickell in terms of, I'm not talking to anybody, you know, in early December if your job is open. If we're going to talk, we're going to have to wait until after this playoff. And that became untenable.
So the AAC will bring in 2023 Charlotte, FAU, North Texas, Rice, UAB, and Texas San Antonio will be coming, I guess, at the same time. They'll all be there for 2023. I don't know. Who
knows? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, again, we're playing musical chairs here, where you get these conferences that run out of chairs, but that it really is not terrible for the AAC. I mean, you're losing very, very good programs. Yes. But you're getting an enhanced exit fee, and you already got your other schools coming in. So at least now you can kind of set your roster and go forward. And yeah, there's a pretty damn big drop off from UCF to FAU and from Houston to UTSA, although UTSA's done well. From Cincinnati and BYU to, well, they didn't have BYU, but from Cincinnati to some of these other schools, Charlotte. But at least you know what you've got now, and this is how it works. You raid the level below you, and you pull up the most promising ones, and you want schools from Florida and Texas for recruiting purposes, and you're trying to help your fairly meager TV package to be as good as it can be. And that's just kind of the survival of the fittest mode that we're in now.
All right. Also, we talked about it last week, so we won't talk that much about it now, but CJ Carr commits to Notre Dame. One of the top quarterbacks, class of 24 in out of Michigan, may impact the Dante Moore recruitment, is one of the top quarterbacks of 2023. Although, you know, I don't know that Dante Moore is the kind of kid that's going to be like, well, if there's a good player coming in after me, I won't go. He'll have a year head start.
Right.
Like, wherever you go, there's going to be other good quarterbacks. Like, I mean, it's just, no. These schools at this level are not just going to be like, okay, we won't recruit anyone for 3 years.
No.
So we'll see what that factor, but it seems to be a lot less likely that he heads to Notre Dame. But he has not said he's backing out of that. Any thoughts on that? There was a great picture of Lloyd Carr wearing a Notre Dame hat that looks like he was having fun. Lloyd Carr is a great guy.
Yeah.
And really, really is a good guy. Good man. And he looked like he was having fun with it. Only his grandson could make Lloyd Carr wear a Notre Dame hat.
I guarantee that. Yes. And I'm sure that caused a little bit of heartburn for a few Michigan fans from the back in the day. But I did see, again, message board geniuses strikes again. They're fantastic finding crackpot stuff. But there was somebody that put out there, and they could not possibly have been serious, that this was Lloyd was fine with his grandson going Notre Dame because he knew it would help Michigan with Dante Moore. There we have it.
Oh, great. I see. Yeah. So he was steering them there to help. Yeah.
Yeah, because he cares more about that than his grandson going to where he wants to go to school.
Yeah, that's probably not. So probably not the case.
Probably not. But I agree with you that Dante Moore seems, you know, if you're a top 10 player and a top one or two or three quarterback in your class, you're really not sitting there saying, oh, gosh, I'm worried the guy coming in after me is going to be better than me. You're just going to make your decision and say, I'm the best guy out there. Just watch. And if it doesn't work out, you transfer. That's kind of the way things go right now. But I don't think this necessarily will change what Dante Moore wants to do. I mean, if you're Michigan, your urgency increases and you've got to do everything you can to, you know, prioritize Dante Moore. But I don't think Notre Dame's going to say, oh, gosh, no, we're not going after him anymore. And I don't think Dante Moore's going to cross Notre Dame off the list. We'll see if they get him. But I don't think it changes the dynamic too much.
We had homework. I think some people on social media told us they did the homework, too. Others had seen the movie. Everyone wants some. The great college baseball movie where they don't really ever play baseball. There's one baseball practice and it's a captain's practice. Everything else in the movie is basically these guys screwing around, mostly consuming alcohol and trying to meet girls. Seems right. Sully, you had not seen the movie. I don't know how. This thing was, it's basically like the sequel, not really the sequel, but it's in the spirit of Dazed and Confused. It's by the same people. And it just centers on this, Texas college baseball team that's really good, filmed in San Marcos at Texas State. It was a flop at the box office. Only 5.4 million bought it and or went and.
I don't think Dazed and Confused was a giant hit until after, too, right? Like that's yeah. Kind of the culty classic vibes.
Well, yeah, and this one I don't even think ever got like its good run on like TNT or something.
Well,
I think they would.
The podcast is going to change that.
We're going to change it. Yep. We're going to change it. Everybody wants some. Sully, your thoughts? All right, well, first, the homework was done, but Pat didn't do it.
Oh, man. I've been driving a truck across the country, and I've been attending graduation festivities. So
this is okay. A perfect so hotel first off, movie. Yeah.
First off, what? Eyes on the road? What are you doing? Come on. Priorities. And we don't care about this little Stanford graduation. It's just, that's like a sixth grade graduation, like whatever.
Yeah, sure. I know.
Did you see the sign? I feel like there was a sign at the Stanford graduation that said this shit was hard.
I didn't see that. There was one there. I mean, look, the Stanford graduation's hilarious because people can come in literally wearing whatever they want. Most people have something goofy and then they sit down and put their robe on or whatever. Although it was so damn hot, a lot of people did the opposite. They took their robe off, but my daughter and her swimming friends, they wore their swimsuits to graduation.
That's awesome.
But yes, there was a collection of kids that came in with a letter on front of them that spelled out, oh, shit, what now?
Oh, yeah, that's what it said. Yeah, yeah, it's hysterical. Yeah.
Which very funny, although probably not truth in advertising, because I think most of them have a pretty good idea what they're doing next, and it's probably going to be pretty good. But
if the Stanford kids are concerned, we're all in trouble. Yeah, right. All right, so Pat, you didn't do your work.
I didn't do my work.
You prioritized other things, other little things like graduations of your daughter and stuff, and safety on the highways, the Eisenhower interstate highway system, over watching this movie. Sully, your thoughts on Everyone Wants Some, and can you understand why you never saw it?
I have failed in not saying it. That was a pure failure on my end up until this point, because that movie was a classic. A lot of nostalgia, you know, the last scene where they go to the first class was just perfect. And it kind of sums up that first week that happens at every single school, the move-in week where there's no classes, no responsibility, and everything just seems like one giant party for a few days. You know, your friends are back in town and you have zero responsibility. And it especially if you're a spring sport athlete and you just have fall practice, like there are no rules, and they certainly seem to take advantage of it.
Well, there are two rules: no alcohol in the house and no girls upstairs. Those were both violated.
Yeah. Within the first
immediately.
Hour.
Yeah.
At the baseball house. Yeah. I guess we can't spend too much time on this because most people haven't seen it. It's not like we're talking about Shawshank and it's like, you know, yeah, spoiler alert. Like, dude, it's been on. Like, if you ain't seen it. Like, I'm going to tell you what happened.
A lot of Tennessee vibes on this team. A lot of pretty terrible mustaches and boisterous people on this team. Like, it is just a collection of characters and clowns. But my favorite, I think, has to be the closer, Raw Dog, because you always hear closers are crazy. And this dude is a perfect example of it, where they have the one practice and he's throwing 100 miles an hour during BP. It's not even practice yet. So he's freaking out on the mound. Just, I don't care if it's BP. I've got one speed.
And they got the one guy, McReynolds, who's like really good. Mm-hmm. Like he hits a baseball 1 point and a half with an axe.
Yeah.
And
hates pitchers.
Hates pitcher. I just like the when they're just sitting around the house. It's not even the party scenes. It's like when they're just playing ping pong or that little basketball game they had. Like, it's just competition. That's how you get ten dudes together, and there's going to be just every single thing is going to they're playing knuckles, cards. Everything is a fight. Everything is put downs. It's just terrific.
That is one of the great parts of this movie is the space. It describes the space in between, which is some of the best times in college where you're sitting. It's 15 dudes in a house that are sitting there on a couch just playing ridiculous games in between classes. Right. Like it's perfect.
I went to school so long ago that we still had single sex dorms. And so it was like an entire four floors at Stafford Hall of guys. And that's what it was, is you are on the, when you weren't going to class, which, you know, attendance was spotty, when you weren't studying, that was spotty too. Then just the daily goofball that happened in the hallways and in dorm rooms. And I mean, that is what made college memorable.
Yeah. I think that was it for me in this movie. Usually these college movies, it's like the nerds or the outcasts are trying to like dominate the cool kids, or there's someone's trying to revenge
the nerds.
Yeah, it's that kind of spirit, or like Project X or whatever, right? Or American Pie, whatever it is. Or it's like, we're trying to find ourselves. Like, this is just like, we're just here. Like, I mean, we're here. Sometimes you get bagged on, sometimes you bag on someone else. I don't know. So this concludes at the movies. Two thumbs up, Sully. Two thumbs up.
Three if I had three thumbs. Okay.
Two thumbs and a big toe.
So there you go. Everyone wants some. Is going to hit top of the on demand. I had to buy it on demand. Not easy to find.
Watch for the resurgence from this based on our role as influencers in social media.
Yeah, this is it. All right. As everyone knows, this podcast is, we're influencers. Cutting edge. We'll tell you what's coming next. And the big story of the week in the circles of stupid stories, we had done on a People's Court a long time ago.
We were ahead of our time.
We were ahead when they first filed the papers. And we do a lot of People's Courts, and we sit around and go, why'd they file this lawsuit? This lawsuit is so dumb. Like, what? Like, it's like suing Pop-Tart because there's not enough strawberry in the strawberry Pop-Tart. Okay, those are our, you know, like, where is this going, right? Well, this was one of those, yet a Missouri woman, and I'll put my typical disclaimer, right? Mature audiences. I got no idea how to get through this. So if you got the kids in the car, maybe just, this is good for the pod. We'll see you next week, or, you know, wait till they're out.
Hit pause for a few minutes,
Because there's no way around this. Is there? I can't even use euphemisms or anything.
No.
Okay.
No. You just got to tell it.
Okay. We're all adults here. Yeah. We just recommended like an absolute raunch fest movie to uphold the dignity of this podcast. This is the story is beneath the dignity. All right. A Missouri woman was awarded $5.2 million in a settlement from the auto insurance company Geico after contracting a sexually transmitted disease from her partner in his vehicle, which was insured by the company. We thought this was ridiculous, but this week a Missouri Court of Appeals upheld the award. The woman, a Jackson County resident, said she contracted HPV from her partner. She alleged that her sexual partner negligently caused or contributed to cause to be infected with HPV by not taking proper precautions and neglecting to inform and or disclose his diagnosis. That's not good. But no. his car insurance policy provided coverage from her injuries and losses. So because these two hooked up in a car, Geico's on the hook. The arbiter determined that, quote, there was sexual activity in the man's automobile that directly caused or directly contributed to cause. despite her former partner's knowledge of the thing. And Geico has to do, they wrote $5.2 million with fairly compensated women from the damages. This is real.
I am so astounded. I mean, I would be less shocked, like, if St. Peter's had won the national championship in basketball. How on earth this is Geico's fault? This dude has an STD and passes it along in the car is amazing. And I guarantee the legal trickle down of this, like, if you are the corporate lawyers at State Farm and Progressive and everything else, you're like, oh, shit, man, what are we going to do now? Oh, boy, we got to get to work on a new defense for when these sort of things come at us here.
Yeah. Hook up in the car. What if they've gone to a hotel? Is then like the Fairfield Inn responsible? Like, what is going on? How does, I mean, we're not normally on the side of big business, but
never, right?
Big no, insurance. Like, we're here for the dreamers. And I tip my cap to this woman who had an unfortunate thing happen to her, but still, she's now got $5.2 million. Yeah. How is that a fair compensation?
I have no idea. Her lawyer's a superstar, though. I mean, first of all, to actually, and I think we talked about this at the time, to actually have the gall to try to bring this forward, but then to pull it off.
Yeah, this dude is winning. This lawyer's about to be hired at State Farm, you know.
Yeah, right?
Seriously, State to Farm. Defend it.
Supreme Court. Just, also, his billable hours just shot up like tenfold.
Elon Musk termed the detail crazy. Crazy damages claims like this. This is why, this is a big part of why car insurance costs so much. I hadn't thought of that. Right? This raises my rate. Because two people outside the Shady Gators or something couldn't get a room.
Yeah. Everybody's next month Geico bill is going to be up $1.
All right. Finally, zoo news out of Amarillo. The Amarillo Zoo.
Always like a good zoo story.
I think Amarillo would have a good zoo. A
lot of animals down there.
A bizarre image captured on a camera outside a Texas zoo has wildlife experts and local officials baffled by the appearance of an upright animal strolling along in the middle of the night. This to me looks like a dog or something, but it is standing on its hind legs. The photo has led to speculation that it could be the infamous, how do you say this, Sully?
Chupacabra.
Chupacabra.
You're going to have, I knew you're going to have a tough time with that one.
I can't do anything. Chupacabra, the mythical vampire beast that hunts for blood of livestock or some other strange cryptid, which I don't know what it is. Sully, it's been deemed the unidentified Amarillo object.
UAO.
The UAO. Sully, do we believe this is a pad? What are you guys? Is there a mythical vampire beast walking around outside the Amarillo Zoo looking to hunt for blood?
Well, of course there is. Of course. I mean, again, we people are way too quick to dismiss these things. And now we finally got the evidence. We have a grainy, blurry, dark, weird picture. That's enough, right? I mean, that's we've been sold on less on this podcast. Here it is, 1:25 a.m. May 21st, the chupacabra roaming. No doubt about it. It's not like a guy with wearing a dog hat or a wolf hat or anything like that. No. This is clearly.
The hindquarters look really weird to be a human in the costume, right? Like
I mean, the posture is different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
I like this. Cryptozoology is a pseudoscience that tracks down the countless popular and obscure animals that have entered folklore. Some cryptozoologists pointed out that this could be potentially a wolf or a bear that has lost the use of its front limbs because of injury. going back to the famed Petals the Bear from New Jersey, went viral walking around in around 2016. And he was tragically shot and killed, unfortunately, by Hunter. Mm-hmm. But he was walking around New Jersey on his back legs.
R.I.P. Petals.
Petals the Bear. Yeah.
Pour one out for Petals.
Can anybody ever one time get a non-grainy, non-blurry, non-dark picture?
I know.
Of one of these beasts.
I'm setting up some high-quality cameras. I mean, this thing is creepy.
It is creepy.
Do you think it's the way it's walking? It's like going Okay, in the picture, is it going right to left or is it like going left to right, yeah, but its head is spun around?
It's definitely going right to left. If it's going left to right, it's Michael Jackson moonwalking. Well,
maybe, though, I kind of look like the head might be looking right at the camera.
It is, because he's caught. He's like, man, I hope this is going to be grainy, because otherwise the jig is up. Chupacabra, busted.
If you've ever been anywhere near Amarillo, you'd believe anything could be living out there.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So, again, that's why I'm convinced 100% it's real.
I would be absolutely terrified. I mean, look, if you can get $5.2 million for hooking up with a dude in a car, this thing could be real. Anything's possible. All right. Our Amarillo listeners, heads on a swivel. Heads on a swivel, folks. Yeah.
Be ready
out
there.
See that thing coming. I don't know what you do, because it's probably going to outrun you.
If you can get a real video, send it to us, and also send it to Jimbo Fisher, because you're right. He's probably got some wheels on him. He's Chupacabra is going to get an eye deal.
Looks like something that could move. Get the picture. If you die in the process, we'll honor you here. But make sure you send in the video first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and subscribe to the podcast after you're deceased. But yeah, so like, yes, we're especially Texas Tech fans, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Amarillo's like in between all those places. Oh, yeah. So y'all be looking out.
All right.
See if you can sign him.
South Plains. Here we go. Mm-hmm. All right. That's our show, to say the least. we may be back later this week without Pat, or we may not.
That's right.
How's that for
I got important
how's that for
things
Keith?
To do? I'll keep them checking back for sure.
We may be here.
If they
we
think
may
that
not.
I'm not going to be on the pod, they may be more hopeful than checking back.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So we'll see if we do any more work this week. Thanks for listening, and please subscribe, share on social media. See, subscribing's your best way. Then it'll just pop right up. We will talk to you later.